This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Out of gas. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, May 12th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
More than 1,000 gas stations in the southeast say they've run out of fuel due to the shutdown of a major pipeline in the wake of a cyber attack.
The government says the number of single adults trying to illegally cross from Mexico to the U.S. was up more than 11% from March to April.
Republicans today will vote on removing Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney from the position of power. Hear her defiant remarks on the House floor.
And how the pandemic has motivated Americans to search for jobs with purpose.
Everybody thought about what they were doing, and some people had the benefit of having time, maybe no commute, or, you know, they're home with their kids and they're bored out of their minds. And people just really started reevaluating what they were doing with their life.
Katie Johnston at the Boston Globe on our Jobs Reckoning. Americans appear to be panic buying gasoline after a massive pipeline operator shut down its network following a cyber attack. More than 1,000 gas stations in the southeast reported running out of fuel. Meanwhile, a large part of the pipeline resumed operations manually late Monday. And Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said Colonial Pipeline anticipates restarting most of its operations by the end of the week.
It's not that we have a gasoline shortage. It's that we have this supply crunch and that things will be back to normal soon and that we're asking people not to hoard.
Since last Friday's ransomware attack, government officials have waived safety and environmental rules to speed the delivery of fuel by truck, ship, or rail to motorists and airports, even as they sought to assure the public that there was no cause for alarm. In Virginia, GasBuddy.com says about 8% of the nearly 3,900 gas stations reported running out of fuel yesterday in North Carolina. The number was 8.5%. More rockets were fired from Gaza into Israel earlier today, and Israel's military said it was striking more targets as the violence that has so far killed at least 40 people continued. Gaza's health ministry said that 35 people had been killed. An Israeli police spokesman said that two people died in a rocket strike overnight, bringing their death toll to five. The fighting between Israel and Hamas, a terrorist group that controls Gaza, has involved hundreds of rockets and airstrikes in the most intense exchange of fire since 2014. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox News.
I just want to give a message to the Israeli people. We have your back. I hope the Biden administration will be more clear in their support of Israel.
Yesterday, Israeli airstrikes demolished a 13-story residential building in Gaza. The Israeli Defense Forces said it struck a multi-story building being used by Hamas and that it provided advance warning to civilians. No casualties were reported. Unrest has been fueled by plans to evict Palestinian families from a neighborhood in East Jerusalem whose land is claimed by Jewish settlers. Republicans today are expected to vote to remove Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney as chair of the House GOP conference. She's angered party leaders over the past few weeks with her criticism of former President Trump's role in the riot at the Capitol building in January and with her vision of his future with the GOP. In a speech on the House floor yesterday, Ms. Cheney said Republicans who ignored Mr. Trump's continuing false claims of a stolen election were undermining democracy.
Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all.
Ms. Cheney has insisted that the GOP cut ties with the former president. In a statement yesterday, Mr. Trump reiterated his position that the election was, quote, rigged and stolen from us. The Justice Department under Mr. Trump said there was no evidence of any fraud significant enough to question the outcome of the election. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Now, as before, House leaders are trying to leverage an energized political force to help in midterm elections. This time, it's followers of former President Trump. Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal, makes the connection between the Tea Party movement from a decade ago and the current Republican spat over Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney's criticism of Mr. Trump from her position of leadership. Jerry, how do you see it?
They want to kind of corral the energy of former President Trump and his army of followers out there, but need to do so in a way in which they don't get consumed by that army and by the former president. And that reminded me a little bit of the Tea Party movement, which I wrote about a fair amount in a book that came out last year. And I think then, as now, you had Republican leaders who thought they could corral the energy of a kind of an anti-establishment rebel army out across the country without being consumed by it. And it didn't really work. The Republican leaders then who thought they could take control of this force and use it to their benefit, tap into its energy, but not be controlled by it, kind of found out that that didn't really work. So John Boehner became Speaker of the House, but then left in frustration because he couldn't get the Tea Party caucus to follow his lead. Paul Ryan became Speaker. He left under similar frustrations. Eric Cantor, who was the number two Republican in the House for a while, got defeated by a Tea Party upstart in a primary. And the other person who was on the scene then is Kevin McCarthy, who is now trying, I think, to do a similar thing with the Trump forces.
And this all, both of these issues, whether it's Ms. Cheney or the Tea Party, all came around to, at some point, anti-establishment. There was a connection.
Totally. I think that was, it turned out in many ways, I think it was just distrust of the establishment was really the unifying force that brought the Tea Party people together. You know, they started out by being upset about bailouts of financial institutions and even homeowners with flimsy mortgages during the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009. And then they were unhappy about federal deficits and spending, and then they were unhappy about Obamacare. But in the end, they decided they could live with deficits if it was Donald Trump who was running up the deficits, because he shared their feeling of disdain for the traditional Republican establishment. And so, in a way, I think that the Tea Party was more about attitude than policy or philosophy. And I think the danger signal in that for Kevin McCarthy now is that eventually the Tea Party turned on people who were in the who became the establishment, in part because they are the establishment, and that's kind of what happens with populist uprisings. They are distrustful of anybody who's in the establishment trying to tell them where they need to go.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "As with the Tea Party, Republican Leaders Try to Control a Rebel Army." Back up for just a second and explain kind of the Liz Cheney strategy and her vision for Republicans right now versus kind of the rest of the GOP strategy.
Well, the way it looks on the surface is that she's being drummed out of leadership simply because she insists on calling out Donald Trump for saying he won the 2020 presidential election when, in her view and in most people's views, he clearly did not, and that's a lie, and she's calling it a lie, and is saying he was responsible, or at least largely responsible, for the riot and the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. And on the surface, it appears that she's being pushed out simply because Donald Trump, now private citizen Donald Trump, has ramped up the pressure on Republican leaders to get rid of her for those apostasies. There's another way of looking at it, though, which is what some Republican leaders argue, which is that they're getting rid of Liz Cheney precisely so they can move past Donald Trump, and that by challenging the president publicly on these things, she's actually keeping attention focused on him and stopping them from turning their attention to what they really want to do, to what they really want to do, which is to win back control of the House next year in the midterm elections.
Yeah. What do you think plays out? Assuming she's removed from leadership, and how does this then play out once she's removed?
Well, I think that, and again, this is one of the reasons I wrote about the Tea Party example. I think that when she is removed, the people who are trying to run the House Republican caucus, principally Kevin McCarthy and Congressman Steve Scalise from Louisiana, may think that they have taken care of a problem, but I think in a lot of ways they'll look as if they're simply figureheads and doing the bidding of former President Trump.
Nice, Jerry. Jerry Seib, Executive Washington Editor at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Colonial Pipeline hack that shut down the major gasoline and jet fuel pipeline to large portions of the South and East Coast is leading to temporary shortages. Gas stations in the Southeast are seeing panicked motorists lining up in droves to fill their tanks and extra cans. This driver was out looking for gas in Jackson, Mississippi.
This is the third gas station I've stopped at to try to get gas, and this one only has premium, so I'm here.
Meanwhile, a forensic report finds Colonial may have been using an outdated version of Microsoft Exchange when it was targeted.
Number two.
Rockets streamed out of Gaza and Israel pounded the territory with airstrikes early today as the most severe outbreak of violence since the 2014 war took on many hallmarks of that devastating 50-day conflict with no endgame in sight. Just after daybreak, Israel unleashed dozens of airstrikes. In the course of a few minutes, at least 35 Palestinians and 5 Israelis have been killed, while over 230 have been wounded.
Number three.
House Republicans seem ready today to toss Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her leadership post after she repeatedly rebuked former President Trump for his false claims of election fraud and his role in fomenting the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack. In a sign she's not backing down, Cheney took to a nearly empty House chamber last night to defend her position.
We must speak the truth. Our election was not stolen, and America has not failed.
Cheney added that remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar. The suspect in a string of fatal shootings at Atlanta area massage parlors has been indicted on domestic terror and murder charges. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis says prosecutors will seek the death penalty against Robert Long.
We have reviewed the evidence, and I am comfortable in the decision that this is an appropriate sentence to seek.
Willis says the state also plans to prosecute the shootings as a hate crime, since most of the 8 victims were of Asian descent. Here are some fun facts that you'll never need. The most used greeting on YouTube videos is "Hey guys," beating out "What's up," which is tops in fitness videos. And the number one greeting on tech videos is "Ladies and gentlemen."
I definitely could have guessed that one for "Hey guys."
Yeah.
Because my daughter watches these YouTubers.
Okay.
First words out of their mouth every time.
Go.
"Hey guys, don't forget to click like this, click comment." Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Many families could be looking at more money than they've ever seen at once when you add stimulus cash of up to $1,400 a person on top of a healthy income tax refund. So if you haven't already spent it, what's a solid plan of attack to save it? We're joined now by Susan Tompor, personal finance reporter at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, what's the strategy?
Well, the strategy is right now, you know, theoretically people are getting a break here on their student loan payments, and that goes to about September. But there is another factor going on right now where there's talk in Washington about possibly, having some student loan forgiveness. President Joe Biden is talking about supporting a $10,000 in student loan forgiveness. Others are calling for $50,000 in student loan forgiveness. So, given that this is in discussion, some are recommending that, don't put your stimulus toward loan forgiveness. Maybe set it aside, see what's going to happen. These would be federal student loans, though, and that's important to note. If you have private student loans, they're not part of the forgiveness effort, and you may indeed want to put some of that stimulus cash there. What's going on right now is that there's a group of people, I don't know how many, but some folks are saying that there's some revenge spending going on, where people are trying to get back last year, get back 2020 by maybe buying some bigger items or any items that they hadn't been able to get, taking vacations, doing whatever. So you kind of want to make sure that you put some savings along with that spending. You know, for some, a family of four might be looking at up to $5,600 in stimulus cash, and that's just the last round. So there's some big money that, you know, you could put towards paying down debt, and if the average family has around $6,300 in credit card debt, as released by the Federal Reserve Survey, that's quite a bit of credit card debt that could be, you know, running up at 15%, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to take a serious look at your credit card debt. Nobody's talking about forgiving credit card debt at this point, at least as far as I know.
Yeah.
But they are talking about forgiving student loan debt at a certain point. Obviously, if you have a lot more than that, it's not going to all be forgiven.
You had
Some of it also you might want to look at, you know, the terms of your federal student loans. If you're in certain industries, you have certain types of jobs, you may be eligible for some existing federal student loan forgiveness programs.
You had an interesting breakdown of what people might do with stimulus cash based on age. Start with people in their 20s or 30s.
Well, in your 20s and 30s, you know, you might want to start thinking about a little bit more about retirement savings than you even realize. So if you're not you're not saving and you have a good job, that's something you might want to consider. You definitely want to have an emergency fund, as boring as that sounds. Just talk to a coworker whose catalytic converter went out on a car. These horrible things happen, and when you have an emergency fund, you're not putting that expense on credit card.
Hey, Susan. Susan Tompor, personal finance writer at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The Labor Department says job openings reached a record level of 8.1 million at the end of March, reflecting a widening gap between open positions and workers willing and able to take those roles. Meanwhile, for a number of Americans, the pandemic has given them time to think. Maybe the free time came from being laid off or working from home without a strenuous commute. And some have used the moment to consider a career change, a kind of job reckoning. More from Katie Johnston, staff writer at the Boston Globe. Katie, what are you hearing?
Well, a lot of people are really taking stock of, you know, where they spend most of their time. You know, everybody's job was affected by the pandemic, it seems, whether you were laid off or whether you're working from home or whether you're working on the front lines. Everybody thought about what they were doing, and some people had the benefit of having time, maybe no commute, or, you know, they're home with their kids and they're bored out of their minds. And people just really started reevaluating what they were doing with their life.
Wow. All right. So did some of these realizations come from people who, like you said, may have been laid off, or is that from folks who were just still fully working?
Yes, all of the above. I talked to one guy who was a cook at a hotel in Boston, and he was laid off right at the beginning of the pandemic, and had the benefit of having free time and some generous unemployment benefits. And so he enrolled in a coding boot camp and just landed a job a couple weeks ago as a software engineer at a healthcare-related startup in Boston. Making more money, having better hours, you know, getting into a more stable field than hospitality.
Wow. So chef to coder. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's a 180, but I mean, that's a career switch. Did you find those are happening?
Yeah. A lot of people are doing really different things. There was a woman I talked to who was working as a business development manager and traveling a lot, like a big corporate job, and decided she wanted to spend more time with her family. She has two young kids, and so she had quit her job. She had planned to take a sabbatical, but that turned into homeschooling her kids. And she started working on her long-held dream of opening her own organic cosmetics company, and she started doing it. I mean, some people obviously have the benefit of having support of a spouse financially or with healthcare, so obviously everyone can't make a 180, but a lot of people are getting very creative in what they're doing. I talked to one woman who, because she didn't have a two-hour commute anymore, she suddenly had time to devote to a side project and launched her own business on the side because she had this extra time.
We're speaking with Katie Johnston, staff writer at the Boston Globe. Her piece is called Pandemic Spurs Search for Jobs with Purpose. What else did you hear? Give another example.
Right. There was a woman who was working at Boston Children's Hospital, and she went and spent time with her parents in Brattleboro, Vermont. And then she and her partner decided to move to California because he had family out there. They wanted to be in a nice climate around places where they could hike and mountain bike. And they just started doing their jobs remotely, living in different towns, moving around. And then she rediscovered her passion for the mental health field and seeing what was going on with a pandemic and people needing access to mental health like never before. Mental health care, like never before, rather. And she got another job, also working remotely, but for a California company. So she kind of used her free time and her new geographic location and looked at the needs of the world and what she was interested in and made a big shift.
Wow. Do you find that these folks are happier than ever at this point?
They seem to be. I mean, a lot of people have just started making these switches. I think people think there's going to be a lot more happening now that things are opening up more and people are getting vaccinated and there's more jobs to be had. You know, it was tougher over the past year. But people are really thinking about meaning and purpose more. You know, I think the pandemic made people realize, hey, life is short. I should try and find something that's more meaningful to me, or at least something that I don't hate, right? I think some people realize their employers didn't treat them that well during the pandemic. Some people were totally overworked and still are. And if you have the luxury of being able to switch careers, I think it's making people think a lot. Some people don't want to go back to the office, right?
Yeah.
Some people like working from home, and employers are starting to call them back in. So it's a time of reckoning, I think, for people to think about what they're doing with their lives.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Johnston, staff writer at the Boston Globe. Coming up next, an alarming shortage for fans of fast food. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we're hearing plenty about supply shortages in a number of industries this week, but provided your local Chick-fil-A was able to navigate the chicken shortage and you were able to navigate a potential gasoline shortage and make it to the drive-thru, you might still get smacked with another shortage, sauces. Chick-fil-A is reportedly limiting the number of sauces that customers can receive with their meals amid industry-wide supply chain shortages. According to an email sent to customers, Chick-fil-A will limit customers' sauces to one sauce per entree, two sauces per meal, and then three sauces per 30-count nuggets.
Oh boy.
The company's decision to limit the number of sauces per customer comes about a week after it announced that it may start running out. The chain apologized for the inconvenience.
Oh, I can just sense people hyperventilating right now over this shortage.
Yeah, I don't know. This isn't too bad, though. I mean, I don't know. It's one sauce per 10 nuggets or so. That's not bad. I mean, I know some people who love to dip, but I mean, I think you're just drowning your chicken in sauce at that point.
Well,
if you really, really need more than that.
If that sauce package is as big as the standard ketchup packet, that would be a problem for my son, because
well, sure.
I know when he was younger and he'd get that 10-piece McNugget thing from McDonald's, we'd have to ask for multiple ketchup packets.
Right. Yeah. No, they're a little bigger than that. They're like those little mini tubs, right? Those. So they're a little more than that. Again, I felt like I needed. Yeah. I'd say one sauce per 10 McNuggets. Yeah. Like when I used to get the McNuggets, and I like the hot mustard sauce.
Okay.
I'd like, you know, one sauce per 10 nuggets. Usually, pretty much.
Yeah.
Does
you think
the
that
trick.
Did it?
I mean, again, you can't go, you know, as long as you're, you know, just be careful. That's all. That's not, you know, you don't want to have any problems with dry chicken at the end of the meal.
Right.
And more now on chicken, specifically two baseball players playing a modified game of chicken. Cincinnati Reds utility player Alex Blandino and Pittsburgh Pirates relief pitcher Luis Oviedo both stood in front of their respective dugouts earlier this week, hand over their heart for a long time, at least 5 minutes, according to the TV announcers, after the national anthem was played at PNC Park, until the home plate umpire finally told them to move along when the first batter stepped into the batter's box. Even then, they were hesitant to give in until finally Oviedo relented, giving Blandino the win. Blandino accepted his win gracefully, tipping his cap and accepting fist bumps from his teammates. Being the last one on the field for anthems is nothing new for Blandino, apparently, as MLB.com says he's been doing this back to his high school and college playing days. The pregame victory seemed to set the stage for a big night for the Reds, who won the game 14-1.
I watched that. It was interesting, yeah. Entertaining.
Yeah, apparently this happens somewhat, I guess not often, but it's not the first time this has happened. They chronicled a few other times this has happened. I guess this guy has been doing this, you know, all along the way.
Yeah.
But I guess this isn't the first time this has happened in the majors, and I don't know who decides that or, you know, how it started in the first place. Did they give each other a look from across the field?
Right, right.
I don't know exactly how they set this up to happen.
Yeah, and what's disappointing, I think, is that Luis Oviedo lost in his home park.
Right. I know.
I mean, Luis.
Even more embarrassing.
What are we doing here?
You know, he's a rookie. He's still got to learn a little bit. He's still got to learn the ropes of how to pull this off.
I guess. But I would think the umpire would be less likely to give him grief,
right,
being that it's his home park.
Right.
Boy.
Understood.
Thanks, Mike. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Children in the U.S. are using the pandemic as an opportunity to get more cash. A recent study called Kids Allowance Report found they're upping their earnings amid the pandemic by doing more chores around the house and selling used items online. The report looked at the habits of kids ages 4 to 14 and found the average amount of chores completed per week increased over the past year by, get this, 236%. And the average kid's allowance rose from $7.26 to $9.35 during the same period. MarketWatch says many of the chores kids claim to be doing during the COVID pandemic are considered traditional housework, like mowing the lawn, washing cars, raking leaves. Meanwhile, the study found some kids with an entrepreneurial bug have taken to e-commerce platforms like eBay, Etsy, and Poshmark to sell items like toys and clothing. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Biden administration outlined a response aimed at securing the nation's fuel supply chain as the Colonial Pipeline remains out of commission due to a cyber attack. Administration officials say they're using resources to help alleviate shortages, which are increasing across parts of the South as drivers engage in panic buying. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says the focus is also on cyber attacks.
More than $350 million in losses are attributable to ransomware attacks this year. That's a more than 300% increase over last year's victimization of companies.
Number two.
Republicans in the Senate are mounting an aggressive case against Democrats sweeping election and voter access legislation, pushing to roll back proposals for automatic registration, 24-hour ballot drop boxes, and other changes in an increasingly charged national debate. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Our democracy is not in crisis, and we aren't going to let one party take over our democracy under the false pretense of saving.
At the end of the day, the Rules Committee deadlocked 9-9 over advancing the bill to the full Senate. That leaves it to Democratic leader Chuck Schumer to try to invoke a special process to push the legislation forward.
Number three.
A former nursing assistant who killed 7 elderly veterans with fatal injections of insulin at a West Virginia hospital has been sentenced to life in prison by a federal judge who called her the monster that no one sees coming. Rita Mays has a history of mental health issues and offered no explanation for why she killed the men. The 46-year-old pleaded guilty last year in federal court for intentionally injecting the men with unprescribed insulin at a VA medical center in Clarksburg. A Texas judge has dismissed the NRA's Chapter 11 bankruptcy petition, dealing a major setback to the gun rights group amid an ongoing legal fight in its home state of New York. The judge's ruling effectively scuttles the NRA's push to relocate from New York to Texas. The judge deemed the filing was a bid to avoid a state regulatory crackdown. Well, if you're planning a trip this Memorial Day, expect a lot more company on the road. AAA says more than one-third of adults are vaccinated. That means travel is set to increase. It expects more than 37 million people to travel at least 50 miles from home during the holiday weekend, up 60% from last year, but that's still lower than 2019.
50 miles. I'll be going by 50 feet from the kitchen
too.
To the backyard. That's about it. Thanks, Jen. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Thanks for being with us. A video of an incoming Harvard freshman talking about her admissions essay has gone viral. In it, she details her experience with losing a parent. 18-year-old Abigail Mack of Brockton, Massachusetts, shared her heartfelt story about losing a parent to cancer, explaining how the letter S has been a reminder of her loss and how she's used her grief as fuel to excel in extracurricular activities and ultimately find her passion. Her essay began with the phrase, "I hate the letter S."
I used to have two parents, but now I have one, and the S in parents isn't going anywhere. S follows me. I can't get through a day without being reminded that while my friends went out to dinner with their parents, I ate with my parent.
Ms. Mack noted that even while she wrote her college essay, the word parent was highlighted in blue, a symbol to check her grammar, but she says cancer does not listen to edit suggestions. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.